We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person, Jesus, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, the body of Christ, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. The Lord is risen. Our gospel, according to St. Luke, this day brings us in pronounced measure a particular memory, a powerful prayer, and a persistent love. Luke, the historian, cherishes memory. Luke, the healer, cherishes prayer. Luke, the evangelist, cherishes love. And you and we, how about the project of our own shared memory and prayer and love? We walk for a moment with the women going to the tomb to do the Easter morning work, the hardest work, to work on the worst. We walk with them a moment as they go to face grief with grace, failure with faith, hurt with hope, and death with dignity. And we, how goes our journey? Begun? Continued? Toward completion? Do we move? Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. The Easter Gospel pronounces in this wonderful verse, the living. Why do you seek the living? Actually, better rendered, the living one. It is a singular. It is an appellation. It is a title. The living one. The one who, especially come Easter, is more alive than all of our life put together. Of blessed memory, our dear teacher, translated from the earth, from the church militant to the church triumphant just months ago, J. Lewis Martin wrote, "The marks of the new age are hidden under the marks of the old." That is, that the marks of the resurrection are hidden and revealed in the cross of the daily death of each disciple. So life is manifest in its opposite. So the new age, at the juncture of the ages, is present hidden in all the rest. We do not need to over-preach come Easter. We still have this treasure in earthen vessels. We still hope for what we do not see and wait for it with patience. We still walk by faith and not by sight. We still see in a mirror dimly. So St. Luke, in his own way, inimitable way, he, the historian and the healer and the evangelist, can tell his story. He receives from Mark and then he changes it. The women still go to the tomb, but they're different women. He's changed the names. Johanna, not Salome, the mother of James. And when they get there, their attitude, their perspective is almost entirely different. In Mark, the women are horrified, fearful, made silent. In Luke, while there is fear, the women listen and hear and retell the gospel to all. Remember the verses. Memory, remember what he said. Prayer, they bowed their faces before him. Love, they went to the tomb. What is your gravest day? What is your gravest experience? Sometime I would like to hear of it. That's the work of the women walking tombward. That's Easter work. So for a few minutes, we'll walk together with the women toward the tomb. We won't keep you long. If the sermon ends for you before the sermon ends for me, if you are finished before I am finished, fear not, just wait a little bit. I'll catch right up with you. For seniors and some juniors in this room, one of the gravest experiences will have been almost 3 years ago, April 15th, 2013, Patriots Day Marathon Monday. The day began, as it regularly does for us, with a brunch and reception in the dean's residence, and eggs and bacon and toast and juice and Longfellow, one if by land and one if by sea, and I at two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be. And a little bit of the Gettysburg Address, 4 score and 7 years ago, of the people, by the people, for the people. And a little bit of local music, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty." We're still trying every Marathon Monday to allow all of our students to be awake before the marathon ends, and we're still working at it. Then we went to see the conclusion of the race and then had the freedom to flâner dans la rue, to walk the streets of Boston, such a beautiful, unique 26-mile family picnic. And then the worst: terror, hurt, mayhem, humanly speaking, an unforgivable loss and murder. And back we came to the chapel to open the doors to tend to those tealess streaming our way, coming to use the sanctuary for prayer or the building for rest or the restroom or to find a cell, a landline when the cells were not working or to warm up. We brought blankets and water. One young woman was covered for about an hour in a clerical gown to warm up. And then all that week, Monday, learning of Lu Lingxi's death, Tuesday, vigil on the plaza, Wednesday, a service led by our choir right here, Thursday, President Obama speaking about running the race set before us, and then the next Monday, a service for Lu Lingxi herself. What is your gravest experience? Someday, I'd like to hear about that. Death makes us mortal. It's facing death that makes us human, and Easter gives us the power to do so, to remind us, in the words of John Bennett, that God is at work in the world to make and to keep human life human. For Luke the historian, the mark of resurrection is memory. For Luke the healer, the mark of resurrection is prayer. For Luke the evangelist, the mark of resurrection is love. Memory gives us life. Is there an age, has there ever been an age that more needed practice and depth in memory than our own? Personal memory, public memory, political memory than our own? Wednesday of that week, all over the globe, newscasters and journals sent reporters to Boston to ask about the events. One set from the Philadelphia Inquirer came that Wednesday, met them on the steps, a reporter and his photographer. And to begin the conversation, he asked, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Syracuse." He said, "You grew up there?" I said, "Yes." "Did you go to high school there?" And I said, "Yes." "What was the name of the school?" And I named the school, and the photographer behind him dropped his camera. He leaned forward, and somehow he was able to perceive, given the condition my condition is in, somebody he knew 4 decades ago. "Bob," he said. "Clem," I said. "Clem Murray, Mimi Sinopoli, the class couple, the most handsome, the most beautiful couple in the class without exception, well, maybe one exception or two, one of the most beautiful." And we had that look where I knew about the long black hair of Mimi and the relatively long brown hair of Clem those many years ago. And after the conversation, I leaned forward and said, "Clem, how is Mimi?" "It's one of those sentences you know halfway through you wish you hadn't said it. It can happen in a sermon as well. And he looked and he said, you know, we married 2 years after high school. We raised our children in Philadelphia, and she died 2 years ago. You know, we shared a look, a moment that both of us could enter out of that present and into the past and see each other. And as he left, I think there was a gleam, a little bit of a smile, to remember a young man in a blue robe and a young woman in a white robe and a blue tam and a white tam, and to be released from the present. That's time travel. That's the resurrection of the past, as Marcel Proust so rightly put it. When the chronology breaks and you're able, eye to eye in memory, to travel, that's the point of an education in history, then you have a mark of the new age. It's the most powerful personal conversation I've had in a long time. Memory gives us life. Prayer gives us life. You know, that Monday evening we had prepared, thanks to the work of our chaplains and musicians, a service that was both local and global for Lu Ling Si. It was held in the George Sherman Union, where just some months before we had honored the life and faithfulness of President John Silber. There were 2,000 or more present and thousands uncounted by cybercast around the globe. And we wanted to honor in prayer, word, music, a 90-minute liturgy. The family, Lu Ling Si's family, sat in the front row, 18 in dignified black garb, I just behind them. Joshua Rohde played his cello. We heard from St. Mark and also from the Analects of Confucius and beautiful eulogies. And then the service was over and the family was to leave and they didn't move. And of course, I feared we had forgotten something. Maybe we forgot a reading or a musical interlude or a prayer or a poem. But no, there was a murmuring along that row. I couldn't understand it. I wouldn't have understood it if I could have heard it. A susurration, a whispering all up and down. And then, as one person, all 18 stood. As one person, they walked forward 4 steps. As one person, they turned to face the local and global congregation, the actual and virtual congregation. And as one person dressed in black, they bowed formally at the waist. And that bow, it seemed to me, lasted an eternity, and it seemed that way because it was. Prayer gives us life. And every day, thrice, we should repeat Abraham Heschel's wisdom saying, different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same. Different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same. Love gives us life as well. They went to the tomb to start that work. And you, your gravest day, your hardest work, your most significant loss. The next Sunday came, and it was such a joy to have a free day in the rhythm of a regular worship service coming, to be able to see the beautiful faces of the loving, faithful women and men of Marsh Chapel, to have a church family to love and a church home to enjoy. How would we get along without it? To rise early and rehearse the sermon and come to church, and just before the service, my colleague and dear chaplain, Brother Larry, said, we've got another one. And I said, I know, it's great to have another Sunday to be able to worship, to be able to sing. He said, no, we've got another one. She died in a fire the night before, tragic loss. And her mother was going to be coming that evening, that Sunday evening, to Boston by bus from New York City. And so we arranged to meet her. The police would have told her what had happened. And we went to that cavern, that cacophonous underground cave, bus terminal, emphasis on terminal, and we waited, and the bus was delayed. And finally came in, and down the steps she came carrying a little red box. And I went and I said, I'm so sorry. I want to express my condolence on behalf of our community. And she said, where is my daughter? Take me to my daughter. I brought something for her. She loves rice cake. And nothing I said was heard. It was a failure. I couldn't convey anything until finally, somehow, the phrase got through, your daughter has died. And the bus terminal erupted with lament like that of Rachel, named in the Christmas gospel just a few months ago. Rachel weeping for her children because they were no more. She would not be consoled. And why should she be? And the lament continued. Nothing sitting on the bench made a difference or helped. No silence helped. No listening helped. No prayer helped. No scripture helped. No condolence helped. She began to stiffen, perhaps a little bit of shock. And all of a sudden, in an inspired moment of grace, our dear Dean of Students, Ken Elmore, from the other side, reached toward her and embraced her in full body hold and held her and rocked her. And gradually the lament lessened, and gradually the limbs loosened, and gradually breath and life returned. It is easily the or one of the most powerful moments of pastoral care I have ever seen. Physical, compassionate, and personal. Love is a mark of the resurrection hidden under the old age, showed forth, revealed in the daily discipline, the daily death of each disciple, morning and evening. 6 years ago, when our father died, Elie Wiesel sent a note. His assistant had been a member of our choir, saying, we have a saying in our tradition, Dean Hill, may you be spared any further sorrow. Hear the gospel. Death may make you mortal, but it's facing death that makes you human, and you have the marks of resurrection to lift you, to carry you. Memory, prayer, love. Unamuno had it so right. Warmth, warmth, warmth. We are dying of cold, not of darkness. It is not the night that kills, it is the frost. It is not the night of ignorance that kills, it is the frost of unloving. So we shall go forward, seeking the marks of resurrection and remembering the confession of the Church of the Ages, which we also share. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, and the marks of resurrection, memory, prayer, love. The Lord is risen. He is risen.